Everything's all right. I'm hooked on a feeling.
Welcome back, everybody. Wayne Patterson on the post-game after-action report, Anatomy of the Growth of a Guest Host, as we recap the recently concluded Hugh Hewitt Show with Kurt Schlichter. And there was really, I mean, we had a three-hour show. There was lots of content. There was lots of stuff that we did. But on a day like today, there was really only one thing to discuss, and that was the interview of Donald Trump Jr., because that's the keynote. That was the highlight of the show today, correct?
It was definitely the highlight of the show. We focused the whole show around it.
And we had a game plan. We had a idea for how to approach and how to attack that interview, did we not?
We did, which we, you know, plans change in the face of the opponent.
Yes, they do.
And we, after action, that, boy, did we have a, we had a, now you got to understand the background here. Dwayne does not give a damn. He doesn't care. He's the honey badger. I am a retired United States Army officer. I was surrounded by non-commissioned officers who could always take me aside and say, y'all screwing up.
Now, I didn't serve. I'm not claiming to serve.
No. But you perform that function, and I'm used to that. I welcome it.
Yes.
And we had an animated discussion about, you had some strong opinions about where I could have gone with it that I chose not to.
Yes.
I made conscious decisions that you did not always support.
Yes.
And you fully discussed them with me. I'm overall happy with the interview, but you brought up some good points, and I think there were some things that I could have done better.
The interview is going to make news because of the fact that we happen to time this such that MSNBC has got their, quote, breaking news, their crawler, and, you know, they've got this check, this $35,000 check that means, I have no idea what it means, but they've got this check that Donald Trump Jr. signed, and you had the chance to say, okay, what do you say? So you asked that question, he made news there.
Yep.
And then you had about 9 minutes left over. You could have gone any number of directions.
Look, you are right. And there are the direction I went was largely along
Hannity.
No, it wasn't Hannity, but it was along the lines of my book, Militant Normal.
Judge Sheen.
Oh, come on. I respect her as a jurist. There were some ways I could have
Steve Ducey
probably made some more news by not attacking him, but throwing out some subjects that he had not covered as much.
If you had another 3 minutes with him, what would you ask now? If I were Donald Trump Jr., what would you ask? What would you ask now? What do you think that might be something that would be interesting to?
I questions that, you know, in retrospect, Donald Trump, are you afraid of being indicted?
Yeah, that's a good question.
How about what would you do in Venezuela?
Yeah, and why would you ask him that?
Because he's potentially a candidate in 6-8 years.
Right. Who's going to pick up the mantle when Donald Trump puts it down?
Great area. And what I focused on was how Donald Trump picked up the mantle now. And the reason I did that is I wrote a book, Militant Normals, which talks a lot about that.
A fine book.
It is a fine book. It's one of the greatest books ever written, not by Shakespeare or by God.
Yes.
And that happens to be a subject that I'm particularly interested in. And I think it was a good interview. I think the guys who are listening to it will be happy. But you were absolutely right. There are different things I could have done with it. And I could have gotten the part I thought was really interesting in a much smaller area and hit some of these other things.
Yes. That's all I'm saying.
No, you're not wrong.
Just
you're absolutely
just
right.
Missed opportunity.
Well, yeah, but you know, life is about choices.
Yes, it is.
And you know, I made the choices I did. I don't think they were bad choices, but I think I could have got more mileage out of the stuff that you're talking about and that we just talked about.
Which means you just have to get him back on again.
Well, I will get him back on.
Okay.
Well. I think he understands that there's a place he can come and talk about stuff that's interesting to him. But I mean, I did hit it. I mean, that the first question was not a softball question.
Absolutely not.
I did throw a softball because I wanted that hit.
Yes.
Sometimes you throw a softball because you know what you want the hit. No, you want the
breaking news. This is what's out there.
Yeah.
But I would not be doing my job if I didn't ask you to respond. So that was a good first question. Then your softball took about another 9 minutes to answer.
Yeah, but it was a good softball.
Okay.
I think people are going to like it. It's not bad.
No.
But looking back on it, I think I could have compacted that.
Yep.
And I think I could have hit some other stuff that maybe people weren't quite as expecting.
So you have a Twitter presence.
I do now
have a radio presence.
Well, for 2 more days.
For 2 more days. The two are kind of different presences.
Definitely.
How do you think the management goes forward trying to bridge those two platforms? Does one influence the other from here on out?
Well, I mean, it depends on how much more radio I do. It's kind of up to them. My Twitter presence is, you know, Hugh jokes a lot about how sometimes I use language that perhaps is not family friendly.
I used some of that language in our After Action report, didn't I?
Yeah. But I don't think the essence of what I do on Twitter is, you know, dropping a bomb or a mom joke or something like that. I think the essence is you have a guy with a very establishment resume.
Very much so.
Who is not sympathetic to the establishment, who's a critic of it, and who does not particularly care about the respect of people in the establishment. It doesn't matter to me. I will do what I want to do all the time. And that's my thing. Now, radio is very different. A, this is not my show. This is Hugh's show.
Correct.
I'm going to do a show that conforms to Hugh while throwing in my own personality.
And developing your own voice at the same time.
And I'm very grateful for Hugh and for all of you guys for helping me do that.
Well, our pleasure to do so. And now that you've had a day to, you know, we did our After Action report on this. Did you, after you've had a day to contemplate, do you still want to revisit the whole Tom Petty replacements thing?
I do not. I was absolutely correct. Tom Petty is a important and accomplished artist.
American icon.
He is an American icon.
Who saved rock and roll from disco.
True. Yeah, look, I'm not denying his place in the history of rock and roll. I'm not denying the greatness of many of his songs. American Girl.
American Girl is a fine song.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was even in tune.
And of course, it was the best song on the soundtrack of Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes, it was.
Unbelievable song. But the Replacements are an entirely different level because they're a different thing. The Replacements are truly kind of a do-it-yourself underdog band. Tom Petty, for all his, you know, all his hangdog look, is not an underdog.
Are you saying Tom Petty was an underdog? He was an establishment?
No, but he was never an underdog. He was always very good. And he surrounded himself by the Heartbreakers. I mean, these are amazing musicians.
Yes, they are.
He went in with all the buttons pushed, all the blocks checked. He had all the... Now, I'm not saying he was bad. I'm saying four guys from Minneapolis who could barely play their instruments, barely stand up straight most of the time, who wrote their stuff in a basement.
Yes.
And what they wrote, you know, was so powerful. In a way, you listen to Tom Petty in your Camaro while you're cruising.
Yes.
Which is fun. You listen to the Replacements in the dark.
Okay.
That's the difference to me.
Okay.
Tom Petty is an important part of my musical life, like AC/DC, like Van Halen. But music that moves me, that comes from those four guys in Minneapolis.
Okay. More on that tomorrow. We will see if we... we're going to go out with American Girl. No, we're not.
No, we're not.
I thought Adam was going to
pick your own band.
No, I thought Adam was going to pick up on the hook.
Yeah.
We will be back tomorrow on the postgame show, where we will see if Kurt Schlichter can get through a Netter interview, maybe with somebody special. We'll see.
Let's see if we can get somebody special.
See if we can get somebody. Now we're talking.
Here we go.
That's what we got to go out with. We will be back on the postgame show tomorrow. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Kurt Schlichter back in the rest of the week. I will be back with the postgame show tomorrow. See you, everybody.